Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And welcome to the Second Tier Preview Show, sponsored by SBK. I'm Ryan Dilks, and I'm joined by the Nathan Addington to my Jason Roberts. It's Justin Peach.
Good day to you, Ryan.
Oh, Justin, a Friday show from us at the Second Tier. It feels very strange, but I like it. It feels like a palate cleanser for the listeners ahead of another big weekend of Championship football. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a starter. It's a bruschetta with a bit of tomato, getting you ready for the main course at the weekend and eventually dessert with our Sunday show.
That's a surprisingly good analogy. When I teed that up to you, I thought, here we go, where's this going? But that is absolutely spot on. But yeah, I think it's just a good way to give listeners our thoughts ahead of the weekend. And, you know, as I say, just get people refreshed, ready for another weekend of Championship football.
Get them motivated, get them going. You know, there's nothing like pumping out a second tier on the way to the game on a Saturday
Careful.
Morning. So, we'll see where that goes. Wherever you want to play second tier, just pump it out. Go wherever you need to go. There's nothing like it. It gets you going.
I have never had more of a disdain for a phrase before than pump it out. But we'll leave that there. Welcome to the number one Championship podcast, the Second Tier. Thank you for joining us, wherever you are. Yes, as we say, a preview show sponsored by our friends at SBK. We're going to look ahead to the weekend in the Championship, including the game of the weekend. So each week, Justin and I are going to be choosing the game which we think has the biggest storylines around it in the Championship and have a big deep dive into both sides competing in that game. We're also going to be making our predictions for this weekend as well, including our bankers and outsiders. And then we shall finish off proceedings with a little game of Scott High or Ryan Lowe to round things off. And our game of the weekend is the M69 Derby between Coventry City and Leicester City on Saturday lunchtime. A massive game, this one, isn't it? Of course, it's two rivals, although admittedly, it's not a rivalry which had particularly registered with me over the years, Justin.
Well, it's a rivalry separated by a motorway, or classically named after a motorway. It's not exactly inspiring.
Quite a lot are, aren't they, really, the dogs? Yeah. It's you see the motorway or the region that the two teams are in.
You've got the old farm derby with Norwich and Ipswich.
Do not call it that. Although, to be fair, Justin, I always have a bit of a bugbear about it being called the East Anglian Derby because there's technically more teams in East Anglia than people realise. Because, for example, off the top of my head, Colchester, Peterborough, Cambridge, these are all teams also in East Anglia. But when we say East Anglian Derby, it's always Norwich and Ipswich.
But I guess when you come into this one, the way you can rephrase it is it's the East Midlands versus the West Midlands. It's East v West. It's your classic story. So that's one way to coin it and really gee it up.
Well, the only reason I've got kind of reservations over it being an actual derby is because when I think of Leicester's big rivals, I always think of, you know, Nottingham Forest derby, for example. And then all of a sudden this season, it's only really dawned on me that Coventry and Leicester are rivals. But I guess it's kind of like they're left out a bit, aren't they? Because Leicester aren't big rivals of Derby or Forest, and Coventry aren't big rivals of any of the other West Midlands teams. So it's strange. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like a big group of friends, big groups of friends that neither Leicester or Coventry are too, you know, partisan with. So they've befriended each other, sort of thing. They feel left out. So it's like, okay, we'll have a derby. Let's have a derby together. We don't have strong derbies, so let's make one.
Fine. I get what you're saying. It's sort of like a an enemy of my enemy is also my enemy in this situation for Leicester and Coventry. But it is a massive game, isn't it? Not just because of the rivalry, but also because it is quite a hard one to call. Leicester, we know, are having one of the best seasons we've ever seen at Championship level. I think we all know that by now. But Coventry are one of the form teams in the division right now. And I find this one really hard to call, PG.
It is hard to separate both sides. I know you can easily say Leicester, the best team in the league, they've been rolling, but Coventry of late have been absolutely fantastic. Coventry, you compare the form, Coventry have won 6 of the last 10, Leicester have won 8 of the last 10. So form-wise, it makes for a very interesting game. And for some reason in my notes, I've got the Walker Stadium written down here, but complete mind. Mind rubber there. But we were treated to a very entertaining game earlier on in the season, weren't we, at the old Walker Stadium. It was a 2-1 win for Leicester, but it was a game that Coventry showed their quality, still had Gus Hamer. They showed their quality, had the control of it, and then Leicester just did what they did repeatedly this season and then themselves took control of it. They showed their quality. So if we get something like that, it's going to be a very, very good 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. But both sides have got plenty of quality, and that's what makes it interesting. And now with both sides in form, it makes it a tactical battle as well. Maresca v Robbins, it's going to be a really, really good one.
Yeah, I think from the perspective of a neutral, it's really interesting to see what kind of level Coventry are at, because of course we know how they did last season, where they were fantastic in the second half of the season, and then there's been a bit of churn with the players coming in and out, and now that they've finally started going, it's quite interesting to see what kind of level they are, because as we know, they have been fantastic recently, whereas as we know, Leicester are the very best in this division. So if Coventry are able to, you know, give them a game and maybe even get a result here, then that'll be a huge scalp from a Coventry perspective and show that they are not just bearing down on the playoffs, they are saying, right, we are not only getting the playoffs, we are going to grab it by the scruff of the neck and head into the playoffs with a lot of momentum, Justin.
Well, I think it can be a statement for both sides. Starting with Leicester, I think if they can come away from this game with a win, but not a comfortable win, but an assured win, it's something that we know that they can do, and they hit the standards that we know that they can hit, then it's a statement, because it's going to make the rest of the division go, well, they've just put away this Coventry side that are on this incredible run of form. So really, the champions in the making here, and then Coventry, if they can get a win themselves.
Do Leicester need to make any more statements? I feel like they've made a lot of statements. It's kind of like Man United with the amount of statements that they've made this season.
Well, it's they're coming up against a tough team, and they've answered pretty much everything that's been thrown at them. They've answered it. They've responded, and they've done pretty well. They've only had a couple of hiccups this season, so it is a big game for them. And for me, if they come away with a win, it is a statement. But for Coventry, obviously, if they can come away with a win themselves, or a result at the very least, then that is them saying we're in the playoff race. We're hitting our gears, and it's going to take a very, very good side to stop us, because a very good side hasn't stopped us. So yeah. For Coventry, it's probably a bigger game for them, but Leicester, you just need to keep getting those wins.
Well, Leicester are having a bit of a mini availability crisis. Kelechi Iheanacho and Patson Daka at AFCON. Jamie Vardy's been struggling with a knee injury recently, but maybe back here for this one. But will it matter if they've got Tom Cannon firing? Of course, I just mentioned the three strikers there who have all done very well for Leicester recently. So when all of them are missing, Tom Cannon's come in and he's scored 3 goals in his last 2 games. The cannon is blasting them in, isn't he, Justin?
The cannon is blasting, absolutely. I mean, the brace he scored against Huddersfield was fantastic. And obviously he scored against Millwall in the FA Cup as well. So he's in form. And it's important to have a striker in form. It's important to have a striker who's taking those chances. And when you've got players like Steffi Mavadidi, Abdul Fatuhu, and Afghans just come into the side as well. There's a lot of technical players in and around the box. They're going to get a lot of opportunities. Strikers, any striker in that team is going to get an opportunity at some point. So when you've got someone as clinical as Tom Cannon, as he showed at Preston last season, it's going to be you're going to be well armed, and if a cannon's well armed, they're very dangerous.
Yeah, a lot of cannonballs in the ammo there. But with Cannon, I mean, I remember when Leicester signed him, obviously for a lot of money, but Enzo Maresca even admitted he's going to be a long-term thing. So I don't think anyone really expected him to, you know, be having a chance like he has done. But here he is after coming back from a long injury as well and hit the ground running, hasn't he? As you say, it does help when he's going to get a lot of service at Leicester, but he's still got to put them in the back of the net and get in the right places, isn't he? And he's doing that.
I think the thing is as well, really important, is that he's got a lot of competition. So he has to be in form. And if he drops out of form, you've got players like Iheanacho. When everybody's fit, you've got players like Iheanacho, Jamie Vardy, Patson Daka to come into the team. So he's going to be on his toes, and that's a really good thing. I mean, parachute payments help, but it also speaks volumes about how important depth is, because it keeps everybody in that first 11 on their toes.
Yeah, always good having four top class strikers in terms of depth.
Very expensive, four top class strikers.
Yes. But of course, Coventry have their own form players, don't they? Tatsuhiro Sakamoto, 5 goals in his last 4 league games, and then the unpredictable Haji Wright has 2 goals and 3 assists in his last 4 games. This is a Coventry side who couldn't hit a cow's arse with a cello before, but are now scoring goals for fun. They've scored 16 in their last 5 games. And it did. We were always saying, Justin, weren't we, that once they were firing, it could be quite impressive what Coventry do. And that's exactly what we're seeing now, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Are you including that 6 against Oxford in that five yes. games? Naughty. Stats. We're running away with the stats there. But
it fits my narrative.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever fits your narrative. But I mean, to be fair, is, you know, Oxford are a good side in League One. And they score 6 goals past them. It's a very good feat. Score 6 goals against any side is very impressive. But it does go to show just how much attacking quality they do have. I mean, Casey Palmer's goal against Oxford, for God's sake, was extraordinary. And you've got a player, like in this game, for example, I expect it to be quite tight. So if you've got a player who can rifle in a shot from 30, 35 yards like that, that can be the difference in a win. But what it does show is that there's plenty of quality in this team. I mean, you've spoken about Haji Wright there, the most unorthodox footballer probably in the Championship at the moment, and it's working in his favour. And that's not to discredit him, by the way. Anyone who's as long as he is and has the limbs as long as he has, being a skillful winger is a very difficult thing to do, and he's doing it very, very well, and he's taking his chances very well. And a player, again, you've mentioned that I haven't really praised enough is Tatsuhiro Sakamoto. He's been absolutely superb, and then Callum O'Hare in that final third as well. It's just a lot of quality, and it's finally coming together. It took time to blend in for Mark Robbins, but they're blended, and they're a very, very sweet smoothie now, aren't they? I'm trying to go with the blended theme here, but we'll go with that.
You're going so well, lost it right at the end. But it is very exciting into all this attacking talent coming together. I mean, Coventry had a very interesting and expensive transfer window in the summer just gone. And it took a while for it all to click together and gel. Mm-hmm. And now that it has gelled, it is properly delicious. What a delicious smoothie that we're seeing at Coventry. Justin, it's time for our second tier bet builder with SBK. And with SBK, you can curate your own bet builder with a range of markets from any Championship game. It's easy, fast and secure on the SBK mobile app. And you'll find substantially better odds there than at any other bookmaker. So every Friday, we're making our own bet builder with full selections all relating to our game of the week. So that's 2 for Justin and 2 for me. Justin, what are your selections from the M69 Derby?
I've gone with Steffi Mavididi to score and over 0.5 second half goals for Leicester City. Now, Steffi Mavididi has got 9 goals this season, which is a very good return. He's a very good player, we all know this, but 6 of them have come away from home. So he certainly enjoys the pressures of playing away from the Walker Stadium or the King Power Stadium if you're a modern man. And going on to the second half goals, Leicester failed to get into gear in the first half. It takes them until half time to really get going, which is supported by the fact that they average over, 1.35 goals in the second half, which is double what they managed in the first half. They score a large percentage of their goals in the second half. So I expect them to, if they are going to score, it's going to be in the second half of this game.
Yeah, it's strange into how they always seem to just eke out a result, whatever happens in most cases, don't they? And it always seems to be late on in games, but that's how it's worked. I've gone for both teams to score. As we were saying just a second ago, Coventry have had no problem finding the back of net in recent times, and Leicester haven't had an issue with finding the back of net all season. So I think this is going to be an exciting one. So I definitely think both teams will score. And then I've gone full-time result to be a draw. The reason I've gone with that is because, as we were just alluding to, it's quite hard to separate these two. I think if you were going to go for a result either way, you probably would say Leicester, but I think Coventry will be more than happy with a draw. So that's why I've gone with that. And a £10 bet with SBK on that returns £219.80. That's Stephen Mabididi to score any time, over 0.5 second half goals for Leicester. Full-time result to be a draw and both teams to score. New SBK users can take advantage of £30 in free bets when you place your first £10 bet. T's and C's apply, over 18s only, and please do gamble responsibly. Before we get onto the rest of our predictions, Justin, we have had a bit of transfer news, which came in after we finished recording Thursday's episode, and it involves Luke Hayling, who's joined Middlesbrough on loan until the end of the season from Leeds. It's a significant one from a Leeds perspective, particularly because he's out of contract in the summer and the club have indicated it's the end of his career at Elland Road. So before we talk about what it means for Middlesbrough, what a servant he has been for Leeds.
Yeah, it's quite mad, isn't it, how a fullback who wasn't really putting up trees at Bristol City did so well and so incredibly well at Leeds under, well, especially under Marcelo Bielsa, and made so many appearances as well. But his work rate, his technical quality, his ability to get up and down the pitch, just an all-round fullback and actually a really good character as well. He's just incredible. He's grown with that Leeds side, and the fact that he's 32 still astonishes me, because not only does he look young, but he also plays like he's still 20, 21 years old. It's an incredible, incredible achievement. So, yeah, hats off to Luke Hayling. He's been fantastic. And some of the goals he scored in the Bielsa promotion season were absolutely incredible. And
that volley, Justin.
The volley, the celebration with his hair, it was just outstanding. And yeah, a great servant to Leeds and a great advert for the Championship as well. Because it's what he did well in the Premier League with Leeds, and he's done incredibly well in the Championship at Leeds, and he's going to get to carry that on with Middlesbrough this season.
Well, you think that he only cost £200,000 in the summer of 2016. He's more than repaid them back on that, hasn't he? And how? When they announced the move to Middlesbrough, they released a statement and went as far as to call him one of the best signings in the club's history. Now, I think that might be a bit strong, considering Leeds' illustrious history, but, you know, the fact that it's even been mentioned by the club itself goes to show how much of a job that he's done there. And when you consider the fee, how good he's been for them for such a long period, it's definitely been an absolute bargain, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. He's been a seminal figure for so many years, been a fan favourite at Elland Road, and it's just been so consistent. And, you know, it does feel like it's the end of an era a bit at Leeds, doesn't it? Because of how many players are now left from that promotion winning side. I mean, you've got, Bamford, Liam Cooper, Stuart Dallas is still on the books, but they're steadily fading away, aren't they?
Yeah, well, that's football, isn't it? But it is sad, because it was such an iconic side under Bielsa. But as you say, a new era is coming for Leeds. But that shouldn't mean you forget the contribution of those players that have come before. You know, you sort of do hope sometimes that these experienced players do still have a part to play. But sometimes you do need to turn a chapter and move on. And it's probably a good time for Hayling to move on, because I say he's been a great servant, not been overly involved massively this season. So he's still. He's still young, and he still plays like he's young as well, as I mentioned. So yeah, it's going to be a great opportunity for him, and yeah, a good time to move on from Leeds.
Well, I'm guessing you think it's a good signing for Middlesbrough then, Justin?
Yeah, absolutely. He's a fantastic signing. I just mentioned all of his attacking qualities, his lungs, you know, the lung side of it, just the lungs of a horse, the hair of a horse. It's incredible. The man is...
He is a horse. Has anyone checked whether Luke Hayling is a horse whole time?
He's hiding those back legs somewhere, isn't he? It's incredible. But when you talk about what Carrick needs in this Middlesbrough side, it's an attacking fullback who's got plenty of energy, who can be deployed in a press, who can support in the final third, but also he's a leader as well, and he's a character in a dressing room, which is exactly what Carrick needs in that defence.
It's just, oh, Luke, thank you for all your hard work here at Leeds for over the years. Nay, what did you just say? Oh, I said thank you.
That's a terrible joke for Carrick.
Is he a horse?
Shit, he's a horse.
No one notices all the time.
That explains everything.
I In all seriousness, I do think it is a good move in the sense that Borough need bodies, don't they? Particularly in defence. So it's very handy having someone like Ayling who can play at right back and centre back. I do think he's still got something to give for a side like Middlesbrough. He's obviously very experienced and did play nearly 30 games in the Premier League last season. And you remember last season, Justin, Middlesbrough had Tommy Smith at right back, didn't they? And he was just a very steady operator. I think Luke Ayling could have the same effect and maybe offer a bit more than what Tommy Smith would usually offer. So, yeah, I think it's a smart move. I don't think it drastically improves their chances of getting in the top six, but I think it's just a clever, steady move, really.
Just wondering why he's been turning up to Elland Road in a horse box for years. No one's asked any questions, but now we know.
No one's questioned it this whole time.
I've got nothing else to add because I'm going to dwell on that point.
Let's take a quick break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome back to the Second Tier podcast. So let's have a look ahead to the weekend. And in each preview episode of the Second Tier, Justin and I will each pick a banker, a team we think is guaranteed to win this coming weekend, as well as an outsider. So someone we think is going to win, but is bigger odds with our friends at SBK than their opponents. So we're tracking how we do as the season goes on. It's 1 point for a correct banker, 2 points for an outsider. Whoever loses has to do a forfeit, which will be a CrossFit workout for myself, while Justin has to do a coach trip from Sunderland to Plymouth and back. The current scores are 32-19. 32-19. I've nearly got double your score now, Justin. And it comes after I got a full house in the last round of predictions for the 29th of December. Justin got absolutely nothing. What do you think of that, Justin?
I'm just trying to understand what your point is. The season starts today, Ryan. We go again. New year, new me. New year, new predictions. New year, new confidence. It's all going off now. The fireworks are firing in my brain. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I've got newfound confidence.
Based off what?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You can clearly see that. I'm shit.
Yeah, I clearly can. Let's see if you can change things, Justin. What's your banker for the weekend with the new you for 2024?
The new me saying West Brom are going to win at home to Blackburn. West Brom keep clean sheets. They're very good at it. They've kept 12 so far this season. And their home record is actually really impressive, collecting 27 points from 39, which is actually the fifth best in the league. That, to me, tells me that's a favourable way of, you know, or a favourable team to pick for your banker. They are missing Grady Diangana, who has gone to AFCON, but Blackburn are in a bumpy run of form themselves, conceding goals for fun and are weakened with James Hill returning to Bournemouth. So, yeah, I'm actually quite confident with this one for a change.
Yeah, I think this is a good banker, Justin. It's hard to make much of an argument for Blackburn with their poor form, and West Brom are also brilliant at home. I think I would be slightly more confident if West Brom weren't having a bit of an availability crisis, because you mentioned Grady Diangana, Semi Ajayi's also gone to AFCON. Jeremy Sarmiento's been recalled from his loan by Brighton. Jed Wallace and John Swift have been injured recently, although there is hope that they'll be back for this game. Matty Phillips is out long term, so not ideal, particularly going forward. Having said that, Davel Dike's back, so
yes.
I suppose it evens it out to an extent.
The DK is back, and that's something I actually left out on my notes, and obviously a goal scoring return in the FA Cup as well. And you saw the passion and relief he had when he scored. So can you imagine the passion and relief he will have when he scores again against Blackburn, to then lift up his shirt and say, "That was for you, JP. That was for you, Justin. This is getting you back on track. We're doing it for you."
Yes, I'm sure that's why he's doing it. We'll be interested to see if DK does play, because he did start against Aldershot in the FA Cup. Whether he'll start ahead of Thomas Asante for this one, be interesting to see. I mean, Thomas Asante isn't the most convincing of strikers by any means, is he? And we've constantly been waiting for Daryl DK to be the man who's a consistent goal scorer for West Brom.
2 years now.
Yes. Will that finally happen after 2 years? I sure hope so. But yeah, we'll... hopefully he will eventually become that man, but if he manages to get a goal against Blackburn, then that's certainly a good sign, isn't it? My banker for this weekend is Ipswich to win at home to Sunderland. Now, Ipswich are in a bit of a slump. No win in 5 league games, only 1 goal scored in their last 4 in the league. They did beat Wimbledon 3-1 in the Cup, but it's obviously difficult to say whether that's a corner turned or not. And for me, I don't think this slump in form is going to last forever. They've shown over the past 5 months that this isn't just a good vein of form. They are a very good side, and they wouldn't be human if they didn't have a little slump at some point. Admittedly, I'd be feeling a lot more confident if Leif Davis is back for this one. The latest update on him is that he'll be a bit touch and go, so we shall see. Overall, though, Ipswich are brilliant at home. 9 wins in 13, so I fancy them to get back on track here. And part of that is because I'm unsure in what direction this Sunderland team is going in. It's 2 wins, 2 losses and a draw under Mick Beale. Of course, the most recent result being getting a bit of a pounding against the big rivals Newcastle in the Cup. And, I mean, we'll ignore that Newcastle game because Newcastle are obviously a very rich side. But Sunderland haven't really been playing particularly well or particularly poorly since Mick Beale's come in. So it's really hard to nail them down, I find.
I agree with that. It is hard to nail them down, but I actually feel this choice is out of ego. This choice of yours is out of arrogance. You're saying you've got an unattainable lead. You've picked a team that are winless in 5 in the league, Ryan. This is the equivalent of Curlon picking the ball up and dribbling it on his nose.
What a rogue reference, say.
But it just stinks of arrogance.
From the mid-2000s.
It just stinks of arrogance. And what arrogance is this based on? It's easy to pick this one apart because Ipswich's form has been quite poor. Both sides, actually, in the last few games have really stopped leaking chances, essentially, which is a good thing for Ipswich. But at the same time, they do not have any convincing strikers available. Freddie Ladapo's so-so, Kenyon Jackson's so-so, Connor Chaplin is there, but can he do it without George Hurston around him? I don't know. I think it's going to be a tight game, and for me, Sunderland have got more players who've got the quality to win the game individually. Like Jack Clark, he can win a game on his own. You know, it can be a tight game with 3 shots all game, and Jack Clark will pull something out of his back pocket. That's the sort of game I'm expecting. And I would side towards it, Sunderland with it. So you are right. I do think it's quite hard to see where they are at the moment under Mick Beale. And it's going to be a big reaction. They're going to need a big reaction after the Newcastle game, but it's going to be a tight one.
I will agree. I would be more confident if they had George Hurst or another striker, Ipswich this is, because Kaden Jackson, Freddie Ladapo aren't the greatest of options. I think Kaden Jackson's not terrible, but it would certainly help if they had someone else there. Maybe they will stick Nathan Broadhead or someone like that up front instead to just mix things up. But I would definitely be more confident if that was the case. But I still fancy Ipswich. I think the big question you should be asking me, Justin, is will Sunderland be as accommodating to the home fans when they travel to away games as they are for when away fans come to them for the FA Cup? Of course, you know, they can't put up Ipswich banners at Portman Road, but I don't know, maybe they will give the home fans fruit baskets or something like that with a message saying, "I hope whatever the result today is, we all just have a nice time." Do you know what I mean?
What's the Ipswich way of saying, "Hawaii the lads"?
Hawaii the lads. I
translate,
did live in Suffolk for a period. I don't want to offend anyone.
Come on, the lads.
No.
Weigh the lads.
No, no. We'll leave that there. Well, I do, on that point, I do get a sense of discontent from Sunderland supporters, because it does feel from a PR perspective, the club hierarchy were fairly untouchable since getting promoted from League One and just did everything right. And then in the last month or so, they've had a bit of a meltdown with, first of all, the Tony Mowbray sacking, which, you know, wasn't one that was, you know, completely met with disdain by Sunderland fans, but it wasn't, you know, thank God that's happened. And then appointing McBeal was, you know, that didn't go very well in terms of the PR atmosphere. And then the whole fiasco with putting up Newcastle banners at the Stadium of Light for the time we're Derby. So I wonder if that discontent may begin to have an effect on results, but that's just a sense I'm getting, Justin.
Yeah, no, that's actually an interesting point to bring up. It's not going to change my mind. I do think Sunderland will still get a result because Jack Clark FC at the moment, and I think that's the way McBeal should go to get results. But you are right. It has been a bruising 6 or 7 weeks for the Sunderland hierarchy, and obviously results haven't been consistently brilliant. And I'd actually say that they might have been better if Tony Mowbray was still there, but that's by the by. It's completely pointless sort of speculating on what could have been. All McBeal can do is react to the result against Newcastle. Get the team get an away win at Ipswich, and you know you're on to a winner there. That's what a win could do. Get an away win at a promotion chaser, you'll get the fans on board.
It'd be certainly a good way. I mean, he's not had a great start of it, has he? Because we were saying that McBeal needs to win round the fans, and a good chance to do that would have been in the Tyne Wear Derby. But that obviously didn't go too well for him, did it? But those are mine and Justin's two bankers for the weekend. And every week, we're going to combine these two selections with a bet on the full-time result of our game of the weekend to create our very own second-tier featured multiple with SBK. So this week, we're going for Ipswich and West Brom both to win, and Coventry-Leicester to be a draw. A £10 bet on that returns £125 with SBK. You can create your own multiple with three or more bets on the full-time results of any game from across the Championship. T's and C's apply, over 18s only, and please do gamble responsibly. Let's go on to our outsiders, Justin. Who is your outsider of the weekend?
I've gone with Swansea to win away at Birmingham. So Swansea have been in better form than they were under Michael Duff. Handsome Alan Sheehan has been getting results. Still inconsistent, but it's been okay. It's been very sort of low and mid-table, if that makes sense to anybody. But with Luke Williams coming in, I think he's going to build on that blueprint that probably a lot of the players are going to be comfortable with. Like, you sort of expect Mike Grimes, for example, to be a real important asset in that side. And I just don't think he's been quite where we expect him to be, or he's not been as good as he has been in previous seasons, mainly because he's been playing probably in a different role in that Michael Duff side. Whereas under Luke Williams, he's going to play through him. Same with Charlie Patinas. Really good players in that Swansea team. And I think that's going to be a big thing for him to build on. And I think Birmingham probably might be surprised. Do get a bit nervous, though, because obviously Tony Mowbray being appointed there. I really rate him. He gets results. I just think that maybe recent form, Swansea are going to be in a much better place. The players, that is, are going to be in a much better place to come in and start getting results. That being said, Tony Mowbray is a very good motivator. So, yeah, it does make me nervous. But from a confidence perspective, Swansea players, they'll be happier. They'll be smiling, whereas Birmingham still might be a bit nervous, depending on how Mowbray wants to deploy. We know he can play a counter-attacking football. We know he can press. We know his teams can play, you know, quite progressive and through the thirds. Really don't know what to expect, so maybe that might play into it as well. But for me, yes, Swansea and Luke Williams to get their first win.
Yeah, I was surprised that you went with this one, Justin, because of what you were exactly just saying. That's the reason why I avoided it, because, you know, going against the fabled new manager bounce
doesn't exist.
Well, we will find out this weekend, won't we? I know Swansea have got a new manager as well, but that's one reason why I just avoid this completely, because when you've got two new managers coming together, it's always a bit difficult to see how the players will react to this. And may I add in the caveat as well that of the two, Tony Mowbray is the more experienced, will have more experience of, you know, coming in and knowing what to do when it's his first job at a new club.
Yeah, but did Tony Mowbray get an announcement where he was depicted as Luke Skywalker? He didn't.
That is true.
So based purely on that, which is an intangible thing you just can't bring into to football when assessing. You've got to back Luke Williams here. Going more seriously, you are right. Tony Mowbray is more experienced, but I just think the way the team's been set up under Wayne Rooney, he's turned very good players into disasters. Like Deion Sanderson was a solid player at this level, and he looks like a borderline sort of pub league. Doesn't know what to do with the ball when it comes at his feet. Don't play through me.
Kai Rooney wasn't a fan of him, was he?
Well, yeah, Kai Rooney wasn't a fan. But, you know, if his dad's failing everywhere else, he's not going to be a fan of many other players, is he? But that's besides the point. I mean, John Ruddy as well. John Ruddy's made so many mistakes this season.
Kai Rooney wasn't a fan of him on Instagram either, was he?
There's a theme here. We should just cut to Kai Rooney and say, "What? Which players weren't you a fan of? Why weren't you a fan of them?" And then, yeah, it's almost going to justify my point. Confidence is going to be on the ground, and Tony Mowbray's got a long way to pick them up, and it might take a few games to get the team going. It is at St Andrews, so it does make me nervous, because Tony Mowbray is just a really good guy, really good manager, and he gets fans on board very quickly. But Luke Williams in the Swansea way, I think those players are going to hopefully fit into that philosophy quite nicely, and it's going to surprise a few teams. And as I say, Alan Sheehan's guided that team very, very nicely over the past 5-6 weeks. He's done a really, really steady job. I think that pays dividends when it comes to the new manager coming in.
So that's Justin, and Kai Rooney's outsider for the weekend in the Championship. My outsider is Bristol City to win away at Preston. Now, Preston are favourites for this one, but would anyone really want to back them at the minute? Because it's 5 losses in 6 for Ryan Lowe's men. Just 4 wins in 19 league games. Only Rotherham and QPR have picked up fewer points in that time than Preston. Considered the most goals in that time too. Why are you pulling that face, Justin?
No, I have no idea how Preston are favourites for this game. I'm not discrediting you.
Fine.
You are right. I just have no idea. You just mentioned the form there. How are they favourites? Will the shithouse win? Will they be resolute? Who knows? Nobody knows. Ryan Lowe doesn't know.
It's because they're at home, ultimately. And that's how the bookies have seen it. But purely based on form. Yeah, you are right. Ryan Lowe's been under pressure for weeks now, and that's only going to get more and more intense the longer this poor form continues. And it is almost getting to the point where you wonder how much longer Ryan Lowe has got. Bristol City have improved under Liam Manning. It's just 1 loss in 6. They're coming off the back of a brilliant draw away at West Ham in the FA Cup. They had won 3 in a row before a couple of sloppy results against Birmingham and Millwall, but I like to think the West Ham game will have given them a boost, and they'll certainly fancy their chances of getting something here. Young Tommy Conway will be licking his lips at how leaky that Preston defence is at the moment, so that's why I fancy a Bristol City win. Justin, come back at me.
I can't. It's very difficult to be honest with you. I think Ryan Lowe might even agree with you to some extent, because their form is terrible. Absolutely terrible. You don't know what team's going to turn up. Obviously, the team that turned up against Leeds did a really good job on Leeds. Obviously, getting a win against them. You've got Liam Miller. So you've got some players there who are good technicians and can produce moments of quality. But is it going to happen regularly? Is it going to happen consistently? I don't think it is. And I think Liam Manning and Bristol City are probably in a much better state than Preston. I mean, that's stating the obvious. But the style of play seems to be filtering in slowly, which is a good thing. He's not sort of gone in and done away with Rooney, where he's going to try and change things. You're going to play my way. He's easing it into the players. And I think we're sort of seeing that with the results and the performances. Sure, there's a long way for them to go, but I think they're more likely to get a win than Preston, which is quite astounding, really. And, Tommy Conway, you mentioned there, his goal against West Ham was so well took. His timing of his run was brilliant.
Oh, and Justin, the ball from Joe Williams as
well.
That
it was insane.
Oh.
But this is what I mean. You open that team up, and Preston get opened up very, very often. Tommy Conway's going to licking his lips. He's going to put those chances away. So I'm really intrigued to see how he does in this game, because he's going to get chances.
Especially if Joe Williams is pinging him like that. Because if he turns into prime Perlo again when they go to Deepdale, then that Preston defence is going to get ripped open constantly. So those are our predictions. And now it's time for this.
Scott High or Ryan Lowe?
Little kiss is all we need. Your best is fucking shit. shit, mate.
Yes, it's time for Scott High or Ryan Low. This is the game where we have to rank four things from highest to lowest. It's as simple as that. There's three questions, and this week, Justin is providing the questions to me. So what have you got for me, Justin Peach, you bastard?
Oh, yes, love you. Love it when you inundate me with compliments and affection. Yeah, so Tony Mowbray will manage his fifth championship club, six if you count Coventry, who were in League One when he took over. So it's beside the point. So I want you to rank his best spells by points per game, not win percentages, by points per game. So I've got West Brom, Sunderland, Middlesbrough and Blackburn.
That's good. I like that. I mean, that West Brom team were very good, weren't they? So I will stick them top. I'm inclined to go Sunderland second, then Middlesbrough. I think it's going to be close between those two. And then I'll go Blackburn last, just because Blackburn were newly promoted when he was there. So they probably took a few losses. But yeah, that's what I'll go for. West Brom, Sunderland, Middlesbrough, Blackburn.
That was completely the wrong way around. I say completely wrong way around. It was an absolute travesty. It's quite tight. So Blackburn are top. You average 1.47 points per game.
Oh, no, that's because you're counting them in League One as well.
Look, his best spells by points per game. I didn't say his best spell in the Championship. His best spells by points per game, Ryan. You need to ask these questions, all right? This is a you problem, not a me problem. This is a you problem. Next is West Brom, 1.46, and Sunderland. Well, actually, I can give you one because Sunderland and West Brom are level. So you average 1.46 at both Sunderland and West Brom. And then Middlesbrough were last with an average of 1.44.
So basically, I've nailed it, except apart from the fact that I was thinking, you know, in the Championship points per game. Blackburn wouldn't obviously.
Basically, you nailed it, but you got it wrong. Simple.
No. Miscommunication, and I'm blaming you for that. What's the next question?
This is after you said, oh, that's a good one. Coventry and Leicester are up against each other this weekend. They've kept a lot of clean sheets. So I want you to rank the sides who have kept the most clean sheets out of these teams this season. Millwall, Ipswich, Leeds, West Brom.
Interesting. I will instantly put West Brom top.
I think I've said that already in this episode.
Yeah, you did mention it earlier, but I think I would have put them top anyway, just because Cobb ran into it. Then I'll go Leeds, because I don't think they've kept many clean sheets, but I would put them ahead of the other two. Then, who were the other two, sorry? Ipswich and
Millwall.
Now, Millwall usually associate with being quite a defensively sound side, but they haven't been that really this season, so I'll put them bottom, then Ipswich second bottom, but I think it's close between those two.
You are just off. You're just off. So it's Millwall that are the cheeky side. West Brom kept 12. Millwall have kept 10 clean sheets this season. Incredible. And Ipswich have kept 9 and Leeds kept 8.
Interesting. Yeah. That's fine. I just did not think Millwall had kept that many clean sheets this season. I thought they were actually quite poor defensively this season, but fair enough then. I will happily take an L on that, Justin. What's the last one?
January is a time for resolutions and improving oneself. Yeah. Do you got any resolutions, Ryan? Apart from being less of a dick, obviously.
Find a new podcast host.
To replace you, I presume?
No.
Because I am the charmer.
Just read out the question, please.
I want you to rank the most popular resolutions people choose. The resolutions you've got are make more time for loved ones, learn a new skill, stop smoking, and improve fitness.
Now, my instinct was fitness top, because everyone chooses that, don't they? However,
The Christmas bulge.
I reckon learn a new skill might be quite high. I'll go fitness top. Then learn a new skill. Smoking's an obvious one, but I feel like this wouldn't have been as high as it was 20 years ago or so. So I'll put that third, and then make time for loved ones. No. Who's got time for that? I'll put that bottom.
Absolutely not. So you've gone with fitness, skill, smoking, loved ones.
Yeah.
you've got just the one, I think. So the top one is improved fitness, which is obvious. That's 48%. This is a Forbes poll. 48% of people want to improve their fitness. 25% want to make more time for loved ones. I mean, 25% of people are not going to make more time for loved ones.
Pathetic.
Yeah, sad sacks. 12% of people want to stop smoking. You are right. I think the number of people who now still smoke is very low. Mm. Might be a different question if people, if it was stop vaping.
Yeah, yeah, fair point. And the bottom one was learn a new skill.
That's 9%. Yeah, no one wants to actually improve themselves.
I got that completely wrong, really, haven't I? But you know what? Fair enough. That's Scott Hight or Ryan Lowe. And this has been the Second Tier Podcast. A big thank you for listening to the Second Tier Preview Show, sponsored by SBK. So another championship weekend is on our doorsteps. It's time to let it in, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll be back to review all the action on Sunday. And we look forward to seeing you then for that. This has been the Second Tier Podcast. I've been Ryan Dilks.
I've been Justin Peach.
And a big thank you for listening.
Second Tier is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.